This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, delighted to be with you today. I'll tell you what, I'm always excited on Wednesdays because it is a weird and wacky Wednesday here on Women of Grace Live. Sue Brinkman's going to be with us after our first break. We'll be taking your questions today. We have a, you know, pretty interesting topic coming up for you when Sue joins us in just a few moments here, a few minutes. It's going to be one, I think, that, you know, will stimulate a lot of discussion. We're hoping for that. And so to that end, let me give you those numbers that you use. We're toll free for you right here in North America. That number is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the number to use if you want to join us live on the program today. And we certainly do hope that you do want to join us live. You make this program move forward, yes, by your questions, your comments, your insights, your inspirations, your words of encouragement. And if you cannot be with us live on the radio, you can take all of that and bring it to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or Facebook page and use the chat feature there. You can put in your question or comment there. Your insight, your inspiration, your word of encouragement, we'll get it retrieved and up on the board. I'm likely to sneeze. I'm going to sneeze here, maybe. Well, I don't know. I don't know why that is. Anyway, I think it's pollen. There's a lot of pollen in the air down here. All of that being said, we're looking forward to hearing from you today. If you're outside of North America, here is your number. Country code 1-205-271-2985. I will be repeating those numbers throughout the course of the program today, as well as our EWTN social media opportunity for you there. Michael McCall will retrieve your stuff left for us right there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Matthew Gubensky is going to be answering the phones for us today, as he does just about every single day, since that is his job. And all of that being said, he will get your question or comment up on the board. We have Rich Jesse producing today, as he does for us every day. We're always excited by that. We've got all of the good people in TOC who gets this out, the stratosphere. I hope it goes that far. All of that so that we can communicate the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ to anyone who can tune into us. And really, you know, the fact of the matter is EWTN is literally everywhere. There's no place on the planet where someone cannot access us if they have the opportunity to pull down some airwaves or to plug into cyberspace. We are there for you 24/7. And to that end, we also have a number that you can use to leave your question. If you get a question, 2 o'clock in the morning rolls around, 3 a.m., I'm often up at 3 a.m., you know, you're laying there and questions come into your mind. Hey, pick up your phone, punch in some numbers, leave the question for us at our listener comment line. That number for you is 205-795-5773. That is, again, country code 1-205-795-5773. And I'll tell you what, you know, if the questions come into your mind, you know, give us a call, put them there. But if you get up around 3 o'clock or any time in the middle of the night, pick up those beads. Yep, you know what I mean. The rosary beads, right? Start plying them. The Divine Mercy Chaplet, always good anytime. Mother Angelica once made the statement that the deepest, darkest of sins are committed at 3 a.m. The evil one is especially tempting at that time. Why? In mockery of the 3 o'clock in the afternoon moment when our Lord sacrificed his life. So I always think about that. If I'm up any time in that 3 o'clock hour, you know, pick up the beads, pray a chaplet, because you don't know who is dying at that moment, and you don't know how much that precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ needs to come into someone's life to resist temptation at that moment of deepest darkness. So we invite you to do all of that kind of good stuff. I invite you, too, to get out to our website. I'll tell you, we're very busy. Today's May the 8th. Tomorrow, what is happening is that we have an evening of grace available for you. This is a free event. It's online. Costs you nothing. So why not come check it out, right? You can register right online. We need you to do that because we'll send you the link so that you can join us. It's a beautiful opportunity for you to become familiar with Women of Grace, or if you've been through a Women of Grace study, to connect with some Sacred Sisters, you know, others who have been through the study or are going through the study right now. You know, we always are discussing something very interesting. The topic for this time is our feminine vocation according to God's plan. We want you to dig deeply into this, ladies, because never was there a time when the reality of the feminine vocation was more necessary. Never was there a time when it was being more thwarted by the culture. So we certainly do invite you to find out more about it. Our Evening of Grace will begin tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, closing out at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. What is the cost? No charge. That's the cost. There is no fee. You can just join us, get out there, do it. It's all available for you at our website, womenofgrace.com. Now, this same theme is going to be repeated next week on Tuesday, May the 14th. And we do that to accommodate schedules, right? This particular opportunity is at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time to 12 noon Eastern Time. So we invite you to join us there at either one of those time slots and days so that you can find out all about your beautiful feminine vocation according to God's plan and why it's so important for this moment in time. You know, I really do think that this is the age of Mary. Therefore, it is the age for women. It is the age of woman. Rightly understood, right? Woman who will enter into the full measure of the giftedness that God has entrusted to her by way of her authentic femininity. So we invite you to check out all of those good things going on. Also want to remind you that this coming weekend, getting very excited about this, I am going to be at Ave Maria University. A beautiful, beautiful weekend is being planned by the good people at Ave. It is a Marian Eucharistic conference. Lots of good speakers are going to be there. Kathleen Beckman is going to be there. Raymond Arroyo is going to be there. Mother Adela Galindo is going to be there. Father Rafael Capo is going to be with us. Father Joseph Mary Rogers is going to be with us. I'm going to be there too. We're looking forward to seeing you there. I got a message from a beautiful woman. I guess she sent it yesterday. I read it this morning. I think her name is Ruth. Ruth, if you're listening, she said, you know, she wanted to chit chat with me. I said, come by the table. I am abundantly available at these events. I do not go and hide after my talk. I am right there with you in the midst of it all. Women of Grace always has a table, and I like to meet you and greet you at that table. So I invite you to come and to join us at Ave Maria this weekend. I'm all dressed up in logo wear today. I don't know. Those of you out at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page can see I've got on my Women of Grace shirt. I have my Women of Grace tumbler. All of those things available for you at our website, womenofgrace.com. In our store. So check it out. Brand new study. Oh, I'm so excited. Brand new study for you. The first in a series of studies called Moments with Mary. That's the series name. This one, this installment, Who is Mary? A 5-week study. We have the study books available for you at womenofgrace.com. So get out to that store and get your copy. Get into a group. We're going to be doing them online. All of that listed for you at our website. We are very, very actively engaged in this great mission to transform the world one woman at a time. We're going to start with you today, right here, calling in 833-288-EWTN. If you're a guy, call in too, 833-288-3986. Sue Brinkman on the other side of the break. Stay with us. Well, my goodness gracious, you hear that music. As we always say, it's Wednesday. It's Weird and Wacky Wednesday here on Women of Grace. We have got Sue Brinkman with us in studio, as we do every Wednesday, talking about some of the things that we see going on out there. Always eager to hear your questions. Well, we start off with a topic, but, you know, we move around. Your calls and your questions generally take us in the directions I like to think that the Holy Spirit wants us to take. 833-288-EWTN is the way that you can join us. That's 833-288-3986. 3986. It's a toll-free number for you right here in North America. You can also reach us out there if you're outside of North America. That number for you is country code 1-205-271-2985. As always, social media is available for you. Michael McCall will retrieve your question. Please use the chat feature at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or Facebook page. I also want to let you know Matt Kubensky is answering the phones. Please say hello to him when you call in. Let him know, and also let Michael know if you're a first-timer, a first-time submitter, or a first-time caller, and I'll ring my bell for you to welcome you to our broadcast today. We are also always looking forward to receiving mail from you. womenofgrace@ewtn.com is the way that you can send questions into us that we'll discuss on the air at a point in time when we dip into our caller line and into our email bag. So I invite you to use all of those opportunities to communicate with us here. Well, Sue Brinkman is with us today. Very excited about that. Good morning to you, Sue.
Good morning. And how is this on this wacky Wednesday? How are you?
I'm doing really well, thank you. All excited about this new study coming out. And, yeah. You know, our regional coordinators are all at Twitter about it, too. I was in a meeting with them last night, and they're just very, very excited about it. So lots of orders already have come in for it, and it just arrived at the distribution center. So we're hoping that it gains a lot of traction. And I'll tell you how that can happen. It can happen through all of you listening today. Why not join us in this great mission to transform the world one woman at a time? Well, Sue, there's a lot always going on, you know, in this new age bucket of our ministry, so to speak, right?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. It never stops. It goes on and on and on.
I know. We'll never be put out of business, although we wish we could be put out of business when it comes to this, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, we're bemused by the bewitching, beguiling, you know, messages incitations, if you will, of the evil one and all of his minions today. But there's a lot that's going on too within the church in terms of devotional practices and in terms of private revelation. And I know that we're going to be talking about what the Vatican has recently said with regard to Luisa Picaretta's divine will. Not so much about Luisa Picaretta, but about divine will and her private revelation and writings. So let's just jump into this.
Yes, yes. They have put a pause on their review of her writings. They are not going to issue at this point the imprimatur on it. It's a long story with Luisa Picaretta, and I'll try to make it as short as possible. She's a beautiful saint. I have all of her books here. Her cause was opened in 1994. She regularly was visited by Our Lord and Our Lady in dreams and visions. She lived solely on the Eucharist. She was one of those people who lived on the Eucharist and the divine will for more than 60 years. At the age of 24, she was granted the grace of mystical marriage with Jesus, and at the same time, she received what's known as the gift of the divine will. And that is a grace that enabled her to live in the will of God, much as Adam and Eve did before the fall. And Jesus referred to the granting of this grace to her as the advent of the third fiat of God, the first being the fiat of creation, followed by the fiat of redemption. It's either 2,000 years, you know, for each of these fiats. And then this final fiat is known as the fiat of sanctification. What he was teaching her to do is to fulfill Jesus' prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And in this state of being in the divine will, God lives and operates directly in the soul because it's fused with his will so that only one will is operating. They describe it in there as like a glass, an empty glass. You empty it with your own free will. You empty your glass of your will, and you let the divine will fill that glass with his own will. And she consented. You have to consent to doing that sort of thing. But some of her followers describe that as a human being, like I said, being like an empty glass. And that she wrote 36 volumes on the divine will. And there were some problems with it, mostly due to the translation from the Italian. And Archbishop Bicieri, who was very involved in her cause, he had observed back in 2012, very sorrowfully, he said that the divine will has not always been presented in a correct and respectful way, according to the Magisterium of the Church, putting remarks in the mouth of Luisa that are not even implicitly found in her writings. And he believe that there were a lot of mistakes in the way people were translating it and interpreting the things that she said. And what happened is he called for a critical edition of her writing to be prepared in order to provide the faithful with a trustworthy text of her writings. And in the interim, he forbade the publication of any translation of her writings other than that. No more of that until this one volume was completed. Well, that was completed in 2024. And during a mass celebrating the death of Luisa Percoretta, Archbishop D'Acenzo announced to the congregation at that time the content of a discussion that he had with the prefect of the Congregation of the Doctrine of Faith, who told him that after examining that critical condition, there were still what they called theological ambiguities not related to the life and virtues of the servant of God. She is a servant of God, Luisa, and therefore they will not give that official translation now the Nihil Obstat. And what are some of the problems with it? And they're saying that they're theological, Christological, and anthropological, that Luisa's conception of the divine will doesn't leave man the possibility to exercise his free will, that it does not incorporate the primacy of God's merciful and unconditional love, and there's no mention, little or no mention, of the resurrection of Christ, Christian hope, or ecclesial communion in her writings. So these are things that they're trying to work out. Now, this is a pause in it. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's a condemnation. That hasn't happened. It has been paused, though. It has been suspended. And there are issues with it. There are definitely some issues that have been brought out. I offer links in our blog on this to different sources of information on what exactly is going on with this. And some of them are pretty serious. There's one reading from Luisa that she got where she's saying, "I, Luisa, upon hearing this, I said to myself, soon he," meaning Jesus, "will say that his will is more than sacramental communion itself." And then Jesus immediately added to me, "Right, right, because sacramental communion lasts a few minutes. It's temporary. My will, on the other hand, is perennial communion. This is why I want so badly for my creatures to take my will." This is one that people bring up and say, "Hey, wait a minute. How can you say that anything's higher than the Eucharist?" Now, is that exactly the way she said it? Is there a translation issue here? This is the stuff that has to be worked out. She, on another writing, she put herself on par with Our Lady. And she claims that Jesus told her that she said, he said, "Since I wanted my mother with me as the first intermediary of my mercy," meaning the fiat of redemption, "and he wanted her on his right, he wanted Luisa as the first intermediary of his justice," and the third fiat, he says, "I wanted you on my left." So it's almost like when you read that, of course, that's what it says. But is that exactly what was meant? See, this is what has to be worked out by the church at this point. They really have to do this. And there can't be any implication at all in that writing that something is special in this, and this is completing the work of God. And apparently Jesus said in one of these to Luisa, this is what Luisa said, he said, is that that he has to emit this third fiat of sanctification, since he says, "I cannot contain my love any longer. This will complete the work that poured forth from me. Otherwise, the work of creation as well as redemption would remain incomplete." We can't have that.
No.
You can't say things like that. That's breaking the main rules of private revelation. First, in private revelation, nothing new is needed to complete the work of Christ.
That's
no
right.
New fiat or revelation. We don't need any apparitions or any at all. We have everything we need in the faith right now to be saved. And second, private revelation can't contain new information necessary to the salvation of souls. Otherwise, the people who lived before that, they're deprived of a substantive, really, aid to Christian life. We shouldn't want that. We shouldn't want to do that. Why would you want to cut all those people out? So there are definitely issues with it. And I really believe the smartest thing to do, and me being, you know, a follower of her, and I have her books, as I said that, I think some of her prayers are very beautiful. Her morning offering is just so lovely. I love that particular prayer. But I think that when this is something we need bigger heads here to look at, and we need guidance from our church. on what exactly to do here.
Yeah, and I have a couple of questions for you. You know, I know it was Father Joseph Iannucci who basically yes. worked on this translation. Took him 10 years, from what I understand, to complete it. So even with that careful translation, and I'm assuming it was a very careful translation because the idea here was to present as precisely and accurately what the private revelation to Luisa Picaretta consisted of. I'm assuming that was a very good translation, but there are still these issues that exist with it. And it's interesting because, you know, and as you say, one of the cardinal rules of private revelation is that there is no new revelation. It's really a highlighting of something that we already find in revelation, highlighting it because it might be particularly necessary for a given moment in time, a given moment in man's history. This idea of the fiat of sanctification being a completion of the redemptive action of our Lord Jesus Christ is problematic on that level too. And I just want to draw a distinction between that notion and what the church understands by way of the Eucharistic banquet that we receive every Sunday, that the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is not something new that's happening. It is a representation. It is the past being made present again through the action of the Holy Spirit. And when we talk about the redemptive action of Christ, we're talking about a perpetuation. It's a perpetuation of that which happened once for all, not a new type of grace or a new type of redemptive action on God's part. The other thing I wanted to say is, in some ways, with regard to this unification of our will with the will of God, we see that to the greatest degree of perfection in our Blessed Mother. There is no other creature like our Blessed Mother. No one else was ever conceived without the stain of original sin. So that is that, you know, seems to be problematic for that one word. But in addition to that, just the concept of living the will of God is not that's not a new concept. When we talk, you as a Carmelite, you know, when we talk about basically the three aspects of growth in the spiritual life, the purgative, illuminative, the last is the unitive way, where it is the will of God living in and through us. Paul, it is no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in me. But we never have the gift of our free will taken away from us, usurped in some way, because it always has to remain a free will offering to God. It always has to remain that. It is a gift of self-donation, really in accord with the self-donation of the Father to the Son and the Son to the Father that spirates the Holy Spirit. So it's an entry into basically a Trinitarian kind of reality, into the fiat of the Trinity, but we are always free to choose for or against that. And that has to remain intact, or then we are not in the image and likeness of God in that part of our creation. You know, how do we image God? We image God in our rationality. We image God through our free will, and we image God in the fact that we have self-consciousness. We know that we exist. We know that we are, and we know that we're a distinct human person. We are not part of the all is one. We are a separate creation created irrepeatably by God. So, you know, I can understand it. Now, the concern, of course, Sue, comes by the implementation of this in the life of God's children. And let me ask you this question. You have all of the books. I have the books too. Here's the question. If in fact the Holy Mother Church requested that no further additions be promulgated until this formal addition would come out, which Father Joseph Iannucci worked on, and it came out in 2024. If that's the case, then is there a question of disobedience on the part of the faithful in purchasing the books, or those who are publishing the books to publish and distribute those books if Holy Mother Church asks? And I'm asking that question because we have good people listening who want to be, in union with and obedient to the guidance and direction of Holy Mother Church.
Absolutely. I my advice to people is to wait in obedience for further direction of the church, to not be purchasing these materials, to not be even selling these materials. You shouldn't really should just stop, just put the whole thing on pause. This is a tremendous test for us as people of faith. Can we obey? Can we obey the church? And especially, can you obey when you don't agree with her? How many of our great visionaries were shut down by the church temporarily?
True.
And
Faustina.
What was the test? Yes, look at Faustina. This for how many years were her right. Was her writings on the list? They were condemned,
right? Padre
that's
Pio.
That's the test. That's
not
the test.
not private revelation, but Padre Pio's ministry, his ability to celebrate Mass for the public, was suspended for a period of time.
And I'm sure there's a lot of people who didn't agree with that at the time. He was a very beloved priest, and he probably didn't agree with it either. But what did he do? He obeyed it. And I always say that this is a tremendous opportunity for grace and merit here by you to just simply obey. Put aside what you think is happening and just obey the authority of the church. You can never go wrong when you obey the church, ever.
Yeah. And that also is one of the tests for, the veracity of a message is the behavior of the person who's, in question, or those who are following that person. So there's a lot there, a lot to discuss. I know that there's a lot of divine will groups out there. That's why I knew that this topic was going to be a hot potato to discuss. I have friends who are deeply involved. Yeah, it's a tough thing. Well, you hear that music, friends. We're going to a break. We do want to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We're inviting you to stay with us. We're going to be right back.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Jeanette Williams. So very happy to be with you today. We're eager to hear from you. We welcome your questions about any given topic. The topic that we have been discussing, however, is the Rome's request that we pause with regard to the writings of Luisa Picaretta until they can work out some of the theological, anthropological, and Christological, ecclesial difficulties and struggles that are presented with even this new translation that's come out that was worked on, studiously, and I know with great love and affection, by Father Joseph Iannucci. And until that can be sorted out, Rome has decided to withhold the Neil Obstat and an imprimatur. Now, what is the Neil Obstat? The Neil Obstat says, there's no obstacle. No obstacle to what? To faith and morals. So when we've got areas that are ambiguous, until there's clarity on those issues, it is right and proper for that Neil Obstat to be withheld. For the sake of the church and for the preservation of truth. So we don't want ambiguity, we want clarity. And we're talking about some of those issues today. So we do have Mary Lou, who's been with us since the beginning of the program. So I feel as though we should go to the phone lines now. We do want to hear from you, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here. Available for you too out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Feel free to use the chat feature there. As I said, we've got Mary Lou with us. She is with us all the way from Massachusetts. That's all the way when you live down here in Alabama. Let me ring that bell for you. Welcome, welcome, Mary Lou. You're on the air. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well. Thanks for calling. So what's going on with you, honey?
Well, thanks so much for taking my call. I just needed some perspective and some advice of a situation that's come up in my family.
Okay.
My goddaughter, who is also my niece, is Catholic. She was baptized, had First Holy Communion. And I got a text invitation from her recently that she and her husband were planning to dedicate, I'm going to read it, are planning to dedicate our baby to our church in June. It would be an honor to have you both there, my husband and I. In the Unitarian faith, a name dedication is like a baptism, where the baby is introduced to the congregation and blessed by the reverend. It will be a simple blessing amidst the annual flower communion, and that's in quotes, where we each bring flowers from our garden and celebrate God's renewal, and God is with a small g. So I am really surprised to get this type of an invitation from my goddaughter, and I don't understand this whole concept of what they're calling a baptism and a flower communion. It's wrong. It sounds like a mockery to our own baptism, the Catholic baptism. So I can't let it slide, Jeanette. I really would like to speak up to them and figure out what to say out of love and how I can be a woman of grace and a spiritual mother to my goddaughter for this mistake that they're making with regards to presenting their daughter to the Unitarian Church and not having her baptized in the Catholic Church.
Mary Lou, so, I can imagine how heartbreaking this is for you. You know, this
is
your niece and goddaughter and this precious little baby here. I'm going to let Sue respond first because I think it would be good for you, Sue, to anchor us into what the Unitarian Church is and isn't. And then, Mary Lou, I'll give you some insights on what I think you should do. Of course, Sue, you're free to do that as well. So tell us about the Unitarianism. Oh, Sue, you're muted. I can't hear you.
Muted.
There you go.
Okay. Am I on? Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Okay, great.
Yes.
Okay. Hi, Sue.
Hi. So nice to hear your voice. You sound so beautiful. And yes, this is something that I know you've probably given a lot of prayer to already, which of course prayer is going to be the most powerful thing you can do. But to understand what Unitarianism is, it's a religious group or a denomination within Protestantism. And the problem in it is that they do not accept the godhood of Jesus. They don't include, it doesn't include non-Trinitarian, it's a non-Trinitarian belief system that doesn't believe in the Trinity. It denies the doctrine of that. It denies that the God is only one person. What struck me as strange is that they're going to do a baptism. Baptism is all about being baptized into Jesus Christ, who's our Lord and Savior. So they're kind of, it just seems contradictory to me that they're going to have a baptism. So obviously the baptism isn't what we know as a baptism, because you're baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and they don't believe in the Trinity. So yeah, Unitarianism is called a Christian theology, but it takes a lot of different non-Christian beliefs and it melds it in there. So it's almost a very it's a non-theistic type of a church, and they allow just about anyone to be part of that fellowship, whether you're a Christian, a Jew, anybody could be a part of that church. So yeah, Unitarians, this is not Catholicism. This is not the true faith of Jesus Christ. It's not what's taught in Scripture. So that's an issue. That is definitely an issue, and I would be just as disturbed. If I knew that anyone in my family was becoming involved in it. Now, will this eventually lead them to Jesus? I don't know. Maybe it will. I mean, it's better than them getting involved in paganism, but it's definitely something that you need to do a lot of praying about.
Yeah.
To find
so,
the right way.
You know, yeah. And the idea is, you know, they say your niece, your goddaughter is saying, well, it's like baptism, you know.
Oh.
It's not really at all, and it's like they're dedicating her to God with a small g. So which God is that? And you know, I would probably as gently as possible have a discussion with her. Unitarianism, what I know about Unity Church primarily is that it is like the New Age church. So I mean, it's synchronistic synchronistic. Yeah, and you pointed to that when you said, well, it includes, you know, this from that, this from that, this from that. It's very relativistic. There's no moral code associated with it. Basically, it's up to you to make a decision. In some of them, they go so far as to say that you are God, which is very akin to, if you will, the Hindu concept of the all is one and the life force energy. They get into all of those kinds of things. They won't dismiss Christianity, but they, you know, I should say they don't dismiss Jesus Christ, but they see him as an historic figure. You know, they see him as, you know, maybe one of many great teachers who walked the earth, but they certainly don't ascribe to him the fact that he is the Word of God made flesh. So, you know, it's an easy religion. You know, I remember many, many years ago when I taught school, there was a woman that I taught with who, you know, I was freshly back in our Catholic faith. And she was telling me that, oh, well, I go to the Unitarian Church. You know, you might like to come and join me sometime. So I said, well, what do you do? She says, well, you know, like we like to read Ralph Waldo Emerson. And she went on and on. Well, that was right up her alley and mine because we were both literature teachers. But the fact of the matter is, it's not religion. It's something parading around as religion. There's not a true belief system that's attached to it. So what do you say to her? Well, you know, I'm famous for saying, go off for a cup of coffee or something, glass of wine, someplace that's kind of neutral. And, you know, just say, you know, you've invited us to this event. And that's what I would call it. You've invited us to this event. I'm just so thrilled to death that you have this precious little child that's yours. And however, you know, this is something that is very difficult for me to understand. Explain more to me about it. And then I would get pointed with her. I would say, okay, so you say to God, but when you wrote the invitation, it was with a small g. So, honey, which God is this? Can you tell me which God it is? Can you describe who this God is? You know, tell me a little bit about that. Okay, and so tell me about this, you know, this flower communion. You know, when you say communion, that means with union. So are you in union with the flowers? Is that what it is? Help me to understand, because this is very different than the church that you were baptized in, the Catholic Church. You know, so I would try to get her to think. And I would try to find out, if you can, you know, well, why are you forsaking, you know, the church that you were raised in and the church that you were baptized in? Why don't you want to give that gift to your daughter? To try to smoke out what the problem is, because obviously there's a problem, or she wouldn't be going in this direction. So something's happened. And maybe that just needs to be fleshed out a little bit. I don't know that it can stop anything, but you can tell her, you know, I'm your aunt, but I am also your godmother. And my concern, obviously, is for you. And my concern is for your spiritual well-being, as well as the spiritual well-being of this beautiful child that you and your husband have brought into the world through the grace of God and his action in your lives. Something like that is what I think you could do. But it's right. You got to pray this thing up before you would open your mouth. But, you know, I would approach the topic. You know, we become a godparent, and that's not just to the age of majority, you know. It is a lifelong commitment, sometimes hard to fill, you know, because we lose touch even with some of our godchildren. But the fact of the matter is we try. So, Mary Lou, you know, God bless you, sweetheart. I think that would be a very womanly of grace thing to do.
Okay, that's what I needed. Thank you to hear. And I can do this. I can do this, definitely. And I will definitely start with my prayer first before I approach her. And thank you so much for both of you for, you know, giving me this information. And it's such a blessing to be able to call you and talk to you and get this really great help. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Mary Lou, and God bless you. Sue is right. I know that you're a beautiful woman, and that beauty that comes by way of our Lord Jesus Christ will just, you know, really infuse this conversation.
Well, she has such a lovely voice. Mary Lou has such a lovely voice.
Yes, she does.
I wouldn't mind being spoken to by you, Mary Lou, because you just have, it's just the sound of your voice is just very nice. It's very calming and happy and upbeat. And I think that you will be able to get through to this person. I think she will feel your love. She will feel your love. and when you're talking to her, know that she is loved regardless of what she decides to do, and you're just sharing it for her own benefit, for her own benefit. And I just think we'll keep you in prayer too, because that's it will be a testy conversation. Maybe it won't, because you seem to have such a bright and cheerful outlook. So hopefully this will all go well for you, and maybe you can just plant some seeds later lead her out back out of
that's
that
right.
and back into the church of Jesus Christ, which is the Catholic Church.
That's right. The rosary, the rosary, the rosary. That's yes. how my grandmother got me back. Thank you, Mary Lou. Well, let's go on to Beth in Chicago, Illinois. She is listening to us via Sirius XM Station 130. We're very happy to have you with us, Beth. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Listen, thank you all for taking this topic on. It's such a behemoth. I was familiar with the writings, and I just want to mention, you both said that you owned the writings. In that 10,000-page Book of Heaven book, I don't know if you've gone through it, you know, real thoroughly, but when you do, a lot of us in a class, we were unbeknownst to what the topic was kind of about. On hearing a lot of the writings, it was very astonishing and frightening. There was talk about how Louisa will be considered above the Eucharist, how
yes.
she's more predominant than the saints.
Yes.
Jesus is going to suck on her. I mean, it's disgusting, some of the stuff that's in that book. And we had a friend who was a lawyer who went through the whole book and did, like, searches. And the things that came up, I mean, even the country of South Korea has banned it from, the archdiocese has banned it from their entire country because of how anti-God this is. I mean, it's all, you know, the devil's in the details. When you have 10,000 pages, you got to be real careful, because Father Annunzi, bless his heart, they cherry pick what they're going to present at conferences. And I've been to several of them, and they cherry pick the best, the most beautiful. But I'm telling you, there is some deviant astral Gnosticism in that book. And there's like many books. There's a lot of them, actually, beautifully written, but just be cautious, because it's going like wildfire around here, and people who are leading this are leading people to evil. And when you know it and you're aware of it and you keep doing it, that's a problem. And I just am witnessing Bible rosary groups being broken apart, division. Mm-hmm. Lourdes and Fatima did not create division. It creates unity, and that's a sign that it's not from something holy. That's just my observation from the last year of witnessing this in our parishes.
Yeah. Well, Beth, thank you so much for calling in today and sharing your experience with it. You know, Sue and I have a whole lot of books, you know, and some of them are books that are very spiritually beneficial, you know, and, you know, I think that there's questions about Louise's books. I think that we do well to heed the caution that's come from Rome with regard to it, to heed the caution. I love that Sue mentioned earlier about the whole area of obedience to what we receive. You know, obedience is not, I had a caller yesterday that asked, well, you know, is the spirit of the law and the letter of the law the same thing? Well, they cooperate together was my answer, right? So the spirit of the word caution, you know, caution is like a yellow light. You don't have to stop. You would do well to stop, though. And so, you know, the spirit of the law is, it's probably not a good idea to go barreling through that yellow light. So, you know, the idea is, you know, what is the spirit of what's being said here? I have not read that book, you know, so I can't comment on it specifically. I have heard some of what it is that you are highlighting here about being higher than the saints and this kind of a thing. And you know, that is troubling. And again, it's the translations that could be, you know, the devil in the detail, but we don't know that yet. And that's why I think Holy Mother Church prudently advises her children, you know, to just kind of pause the word that Sue used there. Sue, do you want to respond to Beth?
Yes, I think that there are things that are written in those books. And I'm talking about the first set of books, Johnette. These are the ones you probably have too. The ones that were given out by Fahy, F-A-H-Y, that was his last name. This was way, way back when all these writings were just being promulgated. And there are weird things in there. She says stuff in strange ways in some cases. And it's just her culture. And it's I don't know, just the way she was saying things in her family, perhaps, the way they describe things. So I know where she's coming from. There are things in there that are very strange and sound lewd. They just are unusual for us. Now, Father Iannuzzi, when he translated the works, that became his doctoral dissertation. That is about a 400 or 500 page book. I actually have that book. And he does clarify a lot of the things that are questioned about it. And that was his doctoral dissertation. And that was approved by the Holy See. So we that's why we really need to just listen to the church. If the church is now saying, okay, we've got this new edition done, and we still don't like some things in there, even after Father Iannuzzi's doctoral dissertation and all of his work on it, and they still don't, there's still some things in there that they believe are going to, there are theological ambiguities that are going to perhaps lead people astray. We always have to think about our brothers and sisters. They may not be where we are in our faith, and they may easily misconstrue things that are perhaps clumsily translated. They might misconstrue it and go astray. Do we really want to risk that? My answer to that is no. I do not want to risk that. And that's why I would never share those books with anybody. I wouldn't give them to anybody. I think that you should just pause. Put the whole thing on pause.
Yeah. And you said something earlier that I think is very important to underscore. You know, oftentimes God gives us opportunities to test us, help us to measure, you know, what is my level of faith and trust in Holy Mother Church and her discretion? And as you said, Sue, you know, many of the great saints were tested in a variety of ways, and that's one of them. Not that God doesn't know, he does, but by the same token, sometimes we need that test. Obedience is for us who, you know, are scathed by the residual effects of original sin. For us that are scathed, self-will and strong will can be our nemesis. And so oftentimes he helps us to break that with these kinds of strictures. So Beth, I thank you for sharing with us your experience, your insight. You know, obviously this is a big topic. I was at an event here in Birmingham and was all but accosted by a divine will person who was holding me accountable for not promoting divine will. And, you know, so much so that the security guard walked over just to show that he was very close by. It was verbally and body language, you know, alarming.
Scary.
So, you know, that does not help the cause. You know, that does not help. So thank you, Beth. Thank you very much. I want to get to Karen in Chicago. Another call from Chicago, listening to us via YouTube today. Hey, Karen, how are you?
I'm very good. Can you hear me?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yes. I have concerns about the Book of Heaven and this devotion because it's completely based on her diaries. And there are a lot of beautiful Catholic accoutrements that surround it. And there are certain passages that are pulled out and are used in the teachings and the classes and online on all the websites. But the bulk of Luisa's mysticism is based on out-of-body experiences. It's throughout her diary. And she talks about it at length in Volume 1, but most students never read Volume 1 because it talks also a lot about demonic activity in her life, not being able to hold a rosary, having hatred for God. These are all in Volume 1. It's a 49-page volume that talks about what led to this mysticism. Mm-hmm. If you read her entry on October 10th, 1900, she explains that she prefers to be in the out-of-body state rather than in her body. She was bedridden for 60 years, and nightly she would do what in the occult world they call astral projection.
Mm-hmm. Karen, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that we didn't get to you sooner. Thank you very much for what you're sharing there. That's important information. And Sue, you could have gone on about all of that because we deal with that and know a whole lot about those kinds of things. So at some future point in time, we might revisit this topic. But thank you, Karen. And Sue, thank you. I'll tell you what, it is true. It's a very big topic today because of the inroads that have been made. What are we saying? We're saying, obey Holy Mother Church. Be prudent. You know, receive her instruction and her guidance and her direction. Let's wait and see. There is never, never, never a mistake made when we wait and see and follow Holy Mother Church. We'll be back with you again tomorrow. Until then, God bless you now. Bye-bye.